Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of April 22nd, 2013. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Skyfall.
And Joe.
Also Skyfall.
I wonder if you guys saw Skyfall this week. Again.
Actually, no.
Okay.
I'm just being a copycat.
I caught you off guard with it, I know.
You did. What do I say?
I started using it at work as like a term. I was like, Skyfalling.
Skyfall!
Skyfalling is the new Inceptioning.
Yeah.
Just as Fandangoing is the new T-Bowing.
Alright, so anyway, we got a pretty awesome show, I think, as usual. So I'm getting into it with some news, and there's actually a ton of news to get to, so why don't we get right into it. First and foremost, first trailer for Thor the Dark World came out this week. I'm sure it'll be out in front of Iron Man 3 next week. It's out this week online and everywhere, so we all took a look at that.
You can see the trailer at everythingaction.com.
Yes, you can. It's the first thing you'll see if you go there.
Yes.
But anyway, picking up after Avengers, Thor is having to deal with
Loki.
Loki. We see at the end, but he's always dealing with Loki. But
Everyone's always Marvel Universe is always dealing with Loki.
Yeah,
in the movies. Just, God damn it, Loki!
But the main villain of this one is it Malekith?
James Spader. Oh, Malekith.
Malekith, the Dark Elf, played by Christopher Eccleston.
Correct.
Looks like he's somehow attacking Earth with, like, crazy dark forces.
I hope he attacks New York again, like, right as they're rebuilding.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's a good thing that that Avengers damage is finally... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. They could have, like, a cameo from Damage Control.
That would be kind of cool.
The guys who come in and, like, fix everything after all the superhero battles.
I have, like, one comic from Damage Control.
There's not really...
I think that's all you were supposed to get.
There's not really too much for them to do.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
just
man.
Like, oh, it really sucks that Galactus did all this terrible shit. Yeah, oh well.
Man, can you believe that every single hero in the Marvel Universe fought Galactus and blew up the entire city of New York? Well, let's start building stuff.
Doo-dee-doo-dee-doo.
But, Thor has to deal with this new dark elf, and also, Looks like he's taking Jane Foster to Asgard to keep her safe.
So I guess it could be also called Weekend at Thor's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Except hopefully he's not, like, dead. Trying to pretend that he's alive, fool Odin.
I'm just trying to, like, pick up the hammer and the can.
My son, take those stupid sunglasses off. Just shake his head no. Like, slumped in his chair. They made a sequel to that movie.
I think they made a couple sequels to that movie.
They sure did.
Yeah, but what'd you guys think of the Thor 2 trailer? Anybody?
I'm on board. I mean, I think it's safe to say that of all the Avengers properties or whatever over at Marvel, for me at least, Thor is probably the one that I'm least interested in. However, that's really saying something considering how much I want to see this movie. Like, that really says a lot about, Marvel and how they develop properties. So if you look at this movie, which is, you know, arguably Thor's the least popular Avenger next to, you know, Scarlett Johansson or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, this movie looks badass, man. And Thor was a surprise hit for me. I wasn't really hyping it up too much in my head. And then that movie, you know, rocked my socks off. So I'm very excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. And just to see, you know, Thor hit shit with hammers. I mean, you can't really...
And blow up stuff with lightning.
Yeah, really, you can't go wrong. You really can't, especially now that the Earth, like, knows who he is, and they kind of got that, like, oh, that's who you are thing out of the way.
God of Thunder!
Yeah, now they can be like, oh my god, it's Thor. What's up, Thor? Oh, just karateing elves.
With Mjolnir.
Yep. Should be pretty good. Should be pretty good.
Chris, any thoughts?
I just want to know who he's fighting. Like, dark elves. Like, I get, like, there's
they're
a
from,
dark world.
They're from another realm.
Tree.
They're from another realm of, the, whatever they call, like,
that tree thing.
Yeah.
Is,
they're
yeah.
from Led Zeppelin 3.
I mean, they, I mean, it's kind of like, I want to know why they come down to Earth and then come to Asgard. It just seems like, yeah, I kind of want to know what the hell they're just like, oh, yeah, we totally watched that invasion, now it's our turn. Like, we'll give it a shot.
Well, I think everyone wants to take over Midgard at some point.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right about that. Doesn't Doctor Doom try to do it, too?
He does it, like, three times.
Doctor Doom tries to take over everywhere.
I know, that's a given. I love that man. Arguably the Marvel villain that I'm most upset about not being a Marvel film property right now.
Yep.
Boo.
I think eventually everyone kind of fights Doom at some point in their career. Like, you haven't made it into the Marvel Universe until you fought Doom.
Yeah.
Dude, he's in, like, the second episode of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Third.
Okay, third episode. Still, that's pretty damn, like, soon. You know, like, that's pretty fast.
He's awesome in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, too.
Yeah, oh my god, yes.
Where he just, like, comes in, like, I'm just trying to, like, kill, like, he has, like, this, like, crazy force field, so, like, no one can touch him. He's like, everyone just shut up! Shut up and listen to Doom!
But, like,
I have
even
words.
Even in Ultimate Spider-Man, like, he's almost a caricature of himself. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. It's just beautiful the way they do it, how they make him this, like, supreme, unbeatable sort of force, where it's like, did you really think it was going to be that easy to defeat Dr. Doom? Like, he wanted to be caught.
He can always be a robot, too.
Yes, oh, man. It never gets old. Gotcha, Doom. Oh, damn it, it was a robot. The real Doom's on the moon.
But anyway, back to Thor 2.
Yeah.
Not gonna be in. But oh, apparently Loki is still gonna be in it.
Well, there is a shocker.
Loki in his like crazy, like serial like, I don't know what it,
Hannibal Lecter.
which is crazy because Anthony Hopkins is noted. But
it's gonna be
definitely seems like it's gonna be like Hannibal Lecter style of like, well, we have to go consult Loki because he's the only other crazy person we know.
Because he's into trolls.
Yeah.
Elves. Yeah.
And I don't know, it's this weird thing, like, it's like this weird thing this year of, like, putting your villain in, like, this clear plastic, like, cell or something, like Star Trek Into Darkness, they're going to put, like, Benedict Cumberbatch in one at some point.
Well, I blame X-Men for that, putting Magneto in, like, the
like full like
contemporary furniture prison.
Yeah, full glass front of the cell.
Yeah. That's uncomfortable.
Oh, it's also probably worth mentioning, too, that Thor 2 is directed by Alan Taylor, who directed a bunch of Game of Thrones episodes, including the Blackwater episode, which, Chris, I'm sure you know that one.
The Battle of Blackwater, yeah.
Which was, like, that had an incredible battle in it, so I'm sure, like, it looks like there's going to be some awesome battles in Thor, too. Like, some
oh,
medieval,
man, he really knows his,
medieval,
yeah,
yeah,
no,
medieval
he
style,
really knows his element.
Like, epic battles. Maybe someone will throw some wildfire out at some point.
I do like how Thor makes it seem like he's the only one that can stop anything in Asgard. Like, Midgard, wherever, like, he's gone.
Well,
cause
no
and
one,
then just shit falls apart.
No one else on Asgard really cares.
That's true. But I feel like if you're Midgard slash Asgard, like, you're a collection of warriors. Like, one warrior isn't always going to make the fucking difference.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone in there is, you know, has to earn the right to be there.
But he's Thor, son of Odin. He's the best warrior. And arguably the drunkest at any given time.
God of Thunder.
And alcohol.
I guess.
But what really bothers me though is not so much like Midgar or Asgard or whatever. Like, oh, we need a hero. Like, what about the Earth? Like, when those dark elves from the dark world and their darkness and all this crap like invades and starts fucking shit up. Don't you think that they'd be like, okay, well, one of the Avengers is definitely going to bail us out.
Yeah.
If not all of the Avengers. I mean, this is a pretty, like, Avengers-worthy threat.
It would be...
And then it's kind of like, oh, Thor, okay, where's everyone else?
You know what would be insane if, like, if, like, Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 and Captain America, they all take place at the same time, so they're all too busy with their own things going on?
That would... That's actually probably what they're going to do.
Like,
or they'll have, like, the battle from Thor 2, like, on TV... During, yeah. Like, fucking Captain America 2. You know what it's I mean? Like, he's like, oh, I wish I could be there to help.
Where's Tony Stark? Oh, his house just got blown up by the Mandarin.
He's in Malibu yeah. Fighting fucking Wang Chong.
Lo Pan.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so Thor 2, I think we're all pretty excited about it. It's coming out in November this year. It's like one of those crazy Witcher releases.
I think, like, November 3rd, something like that.
It's in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Or Thorsgiving.
Oh. Oh my god, if they don't capitalize on that marketing, they're stupid.
Okay, we're going to the Library of Congress and we're
trademarking
fucking patenting that right
Thorsgiving.
Now. Happy Thorsgiving.
And they can just have, like, they can just have ads with, like, the Warriors 3 or whatever just eating a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, or Thor's, like, hammer, like, coming out of a turkey's cavity. Like hitting someone in the teeth.
If Disney was smart, they would open up a Avengers themed restaurant where that just shit happens, you know? Like a medieval times
like,
kind
of like,
thing.
Like the Halls of Asgard. Or like
the Halls of Asgard. Oh my god.
Man, before Marvel like live stuff was cool, like before the first Spider-Man movie came out, Chris, I remember telling you in middle school about my idea for a fucking Avengers themed restaurant in like Times Square. I was like, dude, even if it's only open for like a year and a half, you know how much money that thing would make?
Oh my god.
Playing Hollywood, like, but with Marvel.
Yeah, like, but yeah, exactly.
Like, Disney charges a boatload of money to go have breakfast with just people in costume walk around.
So you want to look at Minnie, huh?
Right.
$30.
So can you imagine if it's going to be like, if it's like, come get served by, like, Captain America, like a freaking Denny's. Oh, my God.
Shouldn't you be fighting Nazis? I should, but someone needed pancakes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just don't send back your omelet if Hulk's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
Green, maybe like green eggs and ham, but, like, Hulk-themed.
Yeah, it's just, like, a dirty, like, piece of meat. Like dyed green.
It's Hulk loin.
Yay. Loin of Hulk.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to other Marvel news, because there's a bunch of other Marvel news this week. Official word came from Marvel that Daredevil is back into the Marvel Studios library. Because Fox never made their movie, or they didn't get their movie developed in time, so...
Yeah, because they're a bunch of fucking dum-dums. Did you see the sizzle reel that Joe Carnahan did for for Daredevil?
It's like crazy
dude.
70s, like, Daredevil, like, Death Wish. But...
It was scenes of Death Wish, scenes of the French Connection, scenes of, like, the Ben Affleck Daredevil or whatever, but, like, just thing like clips of him, like, running around for reference. It was awesome. Like, it was a little bit Warriors, a little bit Superfly, but, like, it just would have been perfect, I think. Like, or at least that that approach to Daredevil would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because arguably Daredevil isn't really a superhero that needs to exist in the current Marvel universe on film. And what I mean by that is, like, what the fuck is Daredevil going to do when Galactus comes?
I'm going to throw my baton
Nothing.
At it.
He's going to hide in his fucking closet,
and
he's going to read, like, children's books in Braille,
I'm gonna make sure, Hell's Kitchen is okay, guys. Don't worry about
it. Yeah. Guys.
I gotta make sure the YMCA and Hell's Kitchen is still standing.
I'm gonna make sure that the Kingpin isn't trying to do anything. But we're fighting Galactus. Yeah, but the Kingpin, he could be plotting something, so...
I have to go meet with a client.
Yeah, I've got... Me and Foggy, we have a really... a really, really big case that we're working on.
Coming up.
Yep.
You know what
I have to go represent Coolio in criminal court.
Even in Ultimate Spider-Man, Daredevil died. Like, in the Ultimate Universe, Daredevil died.
Yeah, he's been dead for a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I'm saying is, if you had him as, like, you know, obviously he has superpowers, but he doesn't have superpowers in the same capacity that, like, Hulk has superpowers.
He doesn't have cosmic powers.
Right, right. He's just got, like, enhanced human senses. That's pretty much it. That's what it comes down to. He's a, like, enhanced human.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have, like, super strength. You know, he's not, like, on a super soldier serum.
He just works out.
The point of the story is that he would have been perfect for as, like, an original superhero in the Marvel universe. Like, someone who was, like, inspired by Captain America and then was, like, 30 in the 70s
mm-hmm.
and was running around stopping, like, you know, street crime and then eventually worked his way up to this bad mammer jammer called the Kingpin, played by Wayne Knight. Which I think would have
circa, circa been Jurassic cool. Park.
Yeah, yeah, circa He's Jurassic not Park. Anymore. Boo. Would have been played by 1994 Jared from Subway. I don't know. It could have been cool, but hey, I'm so glad that Daredevil's back at Marvel. I really am. But the only thing I'm worried about is him not getting his own movie. Just afraid of them kind of being like, hey, you can have a cameo in Avengers 2.
They should. He should be in like an episode or two of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
I would even argue that he could have a cameo here and like here and there or something, and then he could become a regular character
mm-hmm.
in like season 2 or 3. That would be pretty cool. I mean, he doesn't need to be in every episode, but
or they should start making those goddamn like shorts that they said they're gonna make that put him in front of movies.
Yes, dude, years ago, you can, I don't know off the top of my head which number podcast it was where we talk about this, but I remember when that was first announced as news, and we were all so happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just never, never, ever happened. But, hey man, I would be fine with Daredevil getting his own flick. I'd be fine with him getting lumped in as like a cameo character in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with him being an honorary, like, Avenger. I'd be fine with him teaming with Black Panther. Like, whatever it takes, you know, I'm down with it. One might argue that you should try to get Punisher back on track, get that at Marvel, and have those two have a crossover movie.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they know like each other.
There's a pretty awesome... like the most recent Daredevil Punisher, like comics. There was a
their most recent violent disagreement.
What it's like Daredevil, Daredevil Punisher and Spider-Man team up to like keep this like crazy, like hard drive that has like tons of like weapon secrets and stuff into it, falling into like the like Hydra and like AIM were trying to like bid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like all team up together, and then like they got like. Punisher wanted to destroy it, and like Daredevil says, like we can't destroy it or something, and they have this huge fight.
Yeah, and Spider-Man's always awkwardly caught in the middle.
Yeah.
My favorite is when he just like leaves.
And then also,
he's like, okay, see ya.
And also, Punisher had like his like he's like a female protege now.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Who like her wedding got blown up by the mob, so that's why she's the new Punisher. She's like punching people.
She's the Nagger. You were supposed to take me out to dinner. Forgot our anniversary.
And then,
they got, you know, like, there's usually a female counterpart to most, almost every Marvel hero?
Uh-huh.
There isn't one for the Punisher.
There's no.
Oh, now there is. That's the problem. Punisher doesn't need a sidekick. I don't even like it when Microchip was, like, doing cool shit.
I actually liked how Microchip died. That was pretty cool.
Yes, that was awesome, but I'm talking about when he was just like, hey, Frank, watch your six. Let's go. Thanks, Fats.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
So, anyway, and then last bit of Marvel news for this week. Bryan Singer announced, I think on Twitter, that a couple new number of characters are going to be in X-Men Days of Future Past. That haven't been seen in the X-Men movies already, Bishop and Warpath.
Woo!
I'm excited about Bishop.
Hell yeah, man. Bishop's a bamf.
Mm-hmm. We just need to get some cable in there now.
Yeah, we need
cable. The fun
and
part
for
of
the love of baby Jesus, could we please get some love for Omega Red?
That would
anybody.
Yeah, that would be insanity. And get the get Dolph Lundgren to play him.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
my God,
he's
yes.
So hot right now. Are you kidding me? Let's do that.
Yeah.
It's not like this is, you know, 1996 and nobody remembers who Dolph Lundgren is. You know what I mean? Like,
he's gonna now.
Yeah, he's been in The Expendables, which, as you know, made a lot of money. But not only that, but, like, he's actually releasing movies, like, consistently. Like, even if they're direct to DVD or on demand, like, whatever. The point is, like, he's out there. You know? And even if newer fans recognize him as, oh, that guy from The Expendables.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, he's still getting recognized. That'd be so awesome. He's far too big to play Omega Red, but I would even love to see Daniel Craig. And the reason I say that is just look in those cold, dead eyes. Tell me that he couldn't be Omega.
Yeah, he was Russian at some point, wasn't he? Or, like, tried to be Russian?
I think so. I forget what movie.
He was twice he was German? Because he was in...
Yes.
No. He was, like, in Munich.
Yes.
Was that one movie, like, it wasn't, was it Defiance?
Yeah,
he was German Jewish in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in Munich, he was like, Israeli Jewish.
Okay, so maybe he hasn't been Russian, but he's been Jewish a lot, and that's got to be for something,
mm-hmm.
I guess, with Omega Red. I just want to see those fucking, like, steel tentacles try to, like, fuck up Wolverine's day.
Yeah.
That's all. That's so much to ask.
I mean, it's
at least
good
he was
that
in
they finally...
Like, Hulk versus.
Yeah, oh, that was awesome.
Hulk versus had, like, everybody.
Yes.
He had, like, Deadpool and late Deathstrike and...
Yeah. But that's another thing, though. Like, with Wolverine's movies, like, we've got Lady Deathstrike. We're getting, like, Silver Samurai now. But, like, there's just that one person, you know? That one classic 90s character that was so over the top and unbelievable and could never work in a movie but needs to be in a movie. Mm-hmm. He's Wolverine's Bane. Tom Hardy is.
Sabretooth is more...
No, that's his, like, that's his arch nemesis. Yeah. Bean isn't Batman's arch nemesis. It's just like, oh, this guy fucked me up good. You know? Don't want to fight him right now. And they also have that, like, uneasy on-again, off-again, like, alliance or whatever.
True. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's his brother, sometimes he's not.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of, when it comes to Marvel, like, identity stuff, I tend to tap out pretty early, you know, like other than Spider-Man, I can't really tell you, like, who's who and why, like, throughout the timeline, you know.
Oh,
like, if you told me there were six bishops, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I guess that's about right.
You want to talk about really crappy, like, where they can go with this? If they ever bring Cable in, I kind of want to see what happens when they make the Wolverine Cable happen.
Ooh.
Because it makes sense where, like, Wolverine, he just, like, devolves into, like, chaos, because he's lived so long, where, like, he becomes, like, Cable.
I remember the action figure.
Hell yeah.
Like, Feral Wolverine or whatever it was.
Right, but, like, in Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Cable is actually Wolverine in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, it was this weird, like, alternate version where, like, he's lived so fucking long, and...
He just wants death, basically.
Yeah, he just wants to, like, fuck shit up, like, timeline-wise. And that's pretty cool, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if they go with the Scott Summer one, where it's like, yeah, he's Cable, he's just Scott Summer's son, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that gets weird, too. Like, there's so much rich lore, but it's just, like, it's a buffet of where they could pick details from.
Well, it's like the X-Men cartoon episode, where it was, like, Bishop came back to prevent, like, a virus from spreading out, and then Bishop, like, Cable came back to prevent Bishop from coming back.
Oh, that was one of my favorite animated episodes of anything ever.
Like,
that
Cable's
was
like,
awesome.
If you do this, the whole future, my future's gonna be destroyed, even though it sucks. But my son's
like, man,
there.
Fuck you,
so.
Future.
But if I don't stop it, then my future's fucked up. So like they're.
I remember they all hated Gambit.
Yeah, well that was the first Bishop episode. That was the Days of Future, when they actually adapted Days of Future Past for X-Men the cartoon. Because they had to, like, because Bishop had to go back and figure out who the traitor of the X-Men was.
Blimey.
Which I wonder, I don't know, they still haven't, like, really, like, I think this is going to be closer to the comic, but like, the comic story. Because that was, like, kind of a crazy departure from the comic and the cartoon.
Well, then there's the Age of Apocalypse, where, like, Xavier's dead, Magneto becomes the sort of Xavier figure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That gets weird as hell.
Yeah, mid-90s. Marvel is not a fun time.
Yeah. Man, I have this, like, collector's tin of trading cards, Marvel trading cards from, like, I think 1993. It's, like, a 300-card set or whatever.
Yeah.
And if I opened that up right now and just, like, went through it, I guarantee you there'd be, like, at least 200 characters that are just like, well, wait, what?
Yeah, I bought...
What the fuck is this?
Alex Comicsology had, like, they finally figured out how to do their, 700 number one issues of Marvel.
Jesus.
So I got like pretty much the first issue of like every single character's runs.
Nice, man.
And like when you read like the, I don't know if you guys ever read like the Heroes Reborn stuff, but oh my god, it is so awful.
Really?
Like the Captain America, where like he doesn't know, he's like, hey, I'm Steve Rogers, I'm just like this normal construction worker guy, I don't know what's going on. I'm having flashbacks to World War II for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I remember that actually,
and like Nick Fury, like just like, and it was, like Robert Liefeld is horrible. Like everyone has like a million pouches and like weird, like physically impossible poses and stuff, and like his pecs have pecs.
Oh, was that the like retardedly barrel chested Captain America?
Yeah. During that was like the second or third issue of that comic.
Jesus Christ! I can't believe someone at Marvel looked at that and was like, print it. Print it.
I mean, pretty much every comic in the 90s was doing that, so.
Yeah, but not to that degree, man. That was, like, the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, and then you read, like, the, yeah, like, whatever X-Men was happening at the time. It's just like, here's one character you know, and then all these random characters who just...
And here's his five cousins. Yeah. Like, what? Here's four dudes he met at the bus station.
Mm-hmm. Here's Nightcrawler, and then, like, 10 other guys. Like Smokescreen or something.
Yes.
Well, yeah. So Days of Future Past. That's it's a jam-packed movie. So already.
Yes, it is.
I have no idea what to expect in that movie.
Like, we don't even have an official like synopsis.
Yeah.
Do we have an official synopsis? Okay. Well, we don't even have like an official like still from the movie. You know. And there's still so much shit being revealed like just through like Twitter and Vine.
They had like a Patrick Stewart like.
I thought that was a picture that Bryan Singer took from his Twitter account, or posted on his Twitter account.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. It was just like a picture of like LOL Patrick Stewart, and then he like posted it for like 4 billion people to see.
Yeah.
Either way, man, it's, you know, we're getting a lot from this movie, and it's kind of like, you know, I prefer what Bryan Singer is doing over what Mark Webb is doing, because a lot of the time it's just like Mark Webb updating Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, look, a zany shot of me with my cousin.
Here's a like, Dutch. Here's like a super close-up macro of like Spider-Man's lens.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really
try to guess what this picture is.
Yeah, whereas Bryan Singer is like, hey, look, the entrance to the Danger Room. Remember that? It's like, holy shit. This is some pretty, you know, in-depth stuff that he's given us.
Mm-hmm. So, so excited about that one as well.
Hell yeah.
And then moving away from Marvel movies, we learned earlier this week that Sony's gonna be making a Ratchet and Clank movie coming to theaters in 2015.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about that. I love all the Ratchet and Clank games. Like, there's a...
I like them, but they just... They can crank them out every 2 years, like, a steady pace where, like,
There's a pretty big gap between, like, the last PS2 game and the PS3 game.
Well, one of them was a prequel that was on the PSP, and I was like, yeah, I'm not playing that.
Yeah, those, like, the Secret Agent Clank games and stuff, and, like, size matters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think they could do a pretty awesome movie just based on, like, just have the characters, like, I don't know if it's based on, like, a particular game, but I think it says it's going to be, like, an origin story, so it'll probably be, like, more like the first game.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah. It's almost like...
I'm excited that there's actually new, like, movie ideas based off of video games besides, like, a Lara Croft reboot.
And it's definitely seems like this one has, like, super, like a ton of potential because it's, like, it's gonna be animated, and it's already, like, it already looks amazing on the PS3. Like, the cutscenes for it are, like, movie quality already. So it's not like they just match that.
Good.
The entire voice cast is coming over to do the voices for the movie.
I'm just a little surprised it's coming to theaters, though. I thought maybe, like, I'll rent it. Like, if it came to DVD, like, that looks like a good rental.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, a PlayStation Store, like, exclusive or some shit like that.
Well, they also announced, along with the Ratchet & Clank movie, they said they're going to make a Heavenly Sword direct-to-DVD movie. That's going to be end.
Because that game was fantastic.
Jesus.
But, yeah, I think Ratchet & Clank definitely has, like, potential to be a pretty, like, exposed to more, like, I don't know, it'd be, like, a good, like, kid-friendly movie.
Sure.
And it's hilarious. About, it's like
we've talked thing, about all like
are fantastic.
We've talked about movies that like Sony kind of oversees. Like the Resident Evil CGI movies are pretty good compared to like
yes.
a lot of action ones. Live action ones. Yeah,
they're better than any live action Resident Evil that has ever been released.
Yeah.
So the first I'm one saying, and second
included.
Right, so I'm saying like this is actually a good step. But even then, that didn't even get like a world like any theater premiere.
No, but.
So, I just kind of want to know why, like, what, who said yes? It was probably Universal, like, said that, right? Like, isn't that who they're working with?
No, it's Sony, and they're working with, like, two sort of, like, animation studios or smaller studios. I think
yeah,
Sony Pictures is going to be the ones doing it, all of it, pretty much.
I see. Okay, well, like, I mean, like, yeah, because
it's Sony. It's totally in-house. They could do the same thing with Uncharted if they wanted to.
Which I'm, like...
Crash Bandicoot if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So
I, like to see
I actually wouldn't mind an Uncharted live action.
I'd like to see a Sly Cooper animated movie at some point. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'd have to imagine that if Ratchet & Clank did well, that Sly would probably get his own thing, too.
Or Jack and Daxter.
Jack and Daxter. Oh, see, like, Jack and Daxter is actually a good story, because, like, it gets really dark. In the second game, where, like, Jack goes missing for, like, 10, 20 years.
Well, Ratchet & Clank, like, the PS3 Ratchet & Clank games get pretty insane. Because, like... Clank becomes, like, the master of time and, like, the center of the universe. And then, like, also, like, Ratchet's, like, working with, like, this older Lombax to, like, figure out what happened to the other Lombaxes and stuff.
Hmm. How about Banjo-Kazooie?
I think Microsoft owns that now.
Microsoft owns that, and they just dug that to the dirt.
Yeah, was it Nuts and Bolts?
Nuts and Bolts, a game that it did okay, but it was just like, okay, this is nice.
It's clearly like a different game, they just put Banjo-Kazooie in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have been any generic platformer, and it's like, oh, this is like characters you remember from Rare. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, for the Ratchet & Clank movie, as long as Dr. Nefarious is in it at some point, I'll be happy. Because Dr. Nefarious is like one of the greatest characters ever created.
Meh.
Like... whenever he gets, like, so angry that he just freezes and, like, starts playing, like, Spanish soap operas through his mouth.
Again, Naughty Dog kind of just copies Crash Bandicoot, because Dr. Nitro was like that. Like, he didn't have any freeze ticks or anything, but it just reminds me of that.
They have a butler named Lawrence.
No.
Because Dr. Nefarious is a butler. And then, and also, like, as long as Kenny Quark's, like, doing something crazy... I think everyone's.
Well, was it size? What was the 4-player Ratchet and Clank game?
All for One.
All for One. See?
And then there's also. Did you ever play Deadlocked? Which is like the Running Man game?
No.
Where Ratchet and Clank get captured and like put into like this gladiator battle game show?
Is that where like he also had like two robot assistants?
Yeah, because Clank wasn't with him. Like Clank and their like handyman, I think his name is Bob or something, were like. In, like, the command center, and then Ratchet went out with his two, like, robot buddies to, like, go do these missions.
Hmm.
And he had, like, crazy armor the whole game.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, it was, like, a PS2 game, I think.
Yeah, it was, like, the fourth... It was after, like, the original three. It was, like the... They were working on the PS3 game, but they put that one out just, like, in the meantime.
Yep.
It's probably leftover stuff from the other games.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, I mean, I'm pretty excited about that. 2015 is going to be a crazy year for movies.
Yeah, really.
Just keep adding more and more insanity to it.
Well, yes, they do. I give props that it's original. Like, it's actually a new IP in movies.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you're doing it the right way with, like, the original cast and doing it animated and doing it, like, with the original writer, like, the writer of the game's doing it, so.
Or with original, like animals, like, they replace everything with live animals.
Oh my god. Suits.
We don't do that anymore. Like, the film industry doesn't do, like, put live animals in danger anymore.
Because they killed, like, so many dogs and cats, like, through, like, Milo and Otis or something.
Yeah.
I think a ton of cats or something, like, both kinds of animals died during that movie. Like,
it was, like,
they got
drowned
in thrown off waterfalls and, like, eaten by hawks.
Eaten by, like, a live animal.
You know?
Like, I wonder how many dogs they had in, like, Homeward Bound or The Incredible Journey.
He killed, like, 5 golden retrievers, like, dropping them to a pit. Well, now his legs are both broken.
Oh, what was next? Come on, Chance. Come on. Ah.
Shadow. What was the cat's name?
Wait, it was Shadow?
It was Chance Shadow, and then I can't remember the cat's name.
Missy?
I think so. Maybe.
Is Percy? I don't know. I gotta look it up. But anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on to other news. Expendables 3 has a director tweeted out a series of tweets by Sly Stallone. Like, just kept going like, hey, you guys ever see just, like, these, like, really cryptic clues? Like, you guys know who the director is? No? Okay. But, so it turns out it's going to be pretty kind of unknown director. Where's his name? I'm trying to find my tweet that I put up, or, like, the post I put up about it. Oh, Patrick Hughes, who did a movie called Red Hill a while ago. It's apparently, like, I think it's, like, a war movie or something.
Okay.
Yeah, an Australian movie.
Yeah.
That apparently Stallone was like, you guys should go see that, because it's awesome.
Well, Expendables movies kind of, like, direct themselves. It's just put these actors, make some quips, and, like, reference nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's, like, half an Expendables movie right there. And I watch it. Like, there's no problem. But, like, it's not like the director is, like, I don't know, someone who directed, like, a romantic comedy, and boom, he's doing the Expendables.
Yeah, looks like Red Hill is a, like a cop, like an Australian cop thriller. Yeah, it's kind of
I'll never take it for granted, okay? I'll never take the Expendables for granted, because there was a time where if you told us that movie was going to be made, we would have been like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure Sly can, like, help him out with whatever action sequence they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird, like, they had, like kind of huge action director Simon West for 2, and I was like, we got indie Australian guy Patrick Hughes for this one. And maybe they're trying to, like, save some money or something. I'm sure, like, Patrick Hughes is kind of a lot cheaper than Simon West, but... Because I don't think Expendables 2 did as well as Expendables 1. Like, it did good, but I don't think it did as good.
Right.
And they had to, like, they probably had to save some money to get, like, their even more crazy cameos and stuff. Like, get their Nicolas Cage in there.
Oh, boy.
And, like, Stallone confirm Jackie Chan's going to be in it at some point?
Yep, Jackie Chan is definitely in it. He was in it on the condition that he didn't have just, like, 2 scenes like Chuck Norris. He wanted to actually be featured in the movie, like Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely happening. Definitely no Steven Seagal, though. Sly actually said that.
And then also, like, Wesley Snipes.
Is that real?
I think Sly was like, that would be awesome.
I mean, he's out of jail now.
Yeah.
My man Bleed is back slinging dick. So, I hope so. I think he deserves to be in it, and what a comeback movie that would be for him.
I like how Sly was also talking about, like, he wanted to get John Woo directed.
That would have been his dream role, just to have all these American Hollywood actors.
Yeah.
He probably would have had to fucking, like, harakiri himself after it was done.
Man, the dub budget would be insane on that movie.
Yes. Yes, it would be. They'd have to go CG with the doves.
Yeah.
They'd have to. Mm-hmm. He'd want far too many. You want how many doves?
Stallone bursts out of... He's riding a motorcycle, and then, like, a million doves just fly around him.
He gets shot with the dove ray.
He has a gun that shoots doves. It's a bazooka that shoots doves.
When this building blows up, instead of flames, doves come out of it.
Then Chow Yun-Fat does a double dive out of a building.
But Chow Yun-Fat is busy, so he got Psy.
Oh my god.
I would love to see him in that.
I like to see Psy in like a remake of Hardboiled.
In a Korean
remake.
That
would remake. Be great. Yeah. A Korean musical remake.
Of Hardboiled, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing it for American Psycho. They could do it for Hardboiled.
Yes. I'll see that.
So, speaking of movie sequels, 21 Jump Street 2 is coming sometime soon.
Yeah, but that sequel was greenlit before 21 Jump Street was even released in theaters.
Yeah, but it's like doubly confirmed now.
Yeah, because, it's actually happening.
Because 21 Jump Street was surprisingly awesome, and surprisingly, it made a ton of money, so...
Yeah, but that's how you know that the studio, like, believed in that movie, mm-hmm. you know?
And they announced this week that the original team pair of directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, are going to be back for the sequel.
Cool. They did a great job.
Currently doing the Lego movie right now.
Okay.
Which, I want to see, like, just like some sort of shot from that movie, or like, what the hell is actually going on with it. Because, like,
as what I
all they've said is, like, the cast, and the cast is ridiculous. So
Will Arnett's Batman? Oh my god.
Liam Neeson is, like a evil cop.
Yeah, it's going to be great. If nothing else, the voice acting
Morgan Freeman
is
a wizard.
Yes. As a wizard, as a black wizard / president of the United States.
Yes.
Of goes. Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell's the bad guy. He wants to glue Lego blocks together so no one can build Legos anymore. It's just like...
There's a wave coming 2 miles high.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. And then other news. News keeps going, like, going back and forth about the Crow remake or the Crow reboot. Newest rumors going around. Tom Hiddleston, a.k.a. Loki, might be the new Crow or is in talks to be the new Crow.
Okay.
If they're going with the Eric Draven story, no.
After the boondoggle that was the last rumor about the Crow, where it was basically all but confirmed. And now that's not, I think that was James Avery that was happening.
James McAvoy, I thought?
James McAvoy. James Avery, what the fuck am I on? I don't know, man. I don't really believe this, to be honest with you. I just don't see Tom Hiddleston is great, but I don't think, you know, that I believe him being Eric Draven, you know, just like Chris said,
mm-hmm.
not really buying it.
I've only really seen him as Loki. I haven't really seen any of his other movies.
Same here.
Like, I know he's in Warhorse, I think, and a bunch of, like, I'm sure some like weird like indie English like British dramas, but
yeah.
I wonder. I bet he was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, because I'm sure everyone was in that movie.
Everyone was in that movie.
Yeah.
Every British
name a British actor in there in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Communists.
The Russians.
Yeah. Chop Chop.
Post Hey.
Smiley.
I saw that movie twice. I still don't know what's going on.
No one knows what's going on in that movie, Chris. Just everyone's in it, and no one knows what's going on, who is who.
It's one of those movies when you watch, you feel smart. Like, if people walk in, like, yes, I am watching Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. It's like, oh, it's...
Are you also drinking tea, Chris? Why, yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Is that a bagel? It's a scone, actually.
It's a croissant. Oh,
he's so cultured. Yeah. Croissant. Yeah, I feel like that's a movie that you totally keep the stub and then have it fall out of your wallet when you're trying to impress a girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Did that hit you?
Or you just, like, bring it up and, like, compare it.
No. What did you see?
Just, like, compare it to, like, other movies. Like, you're, like, people are, like, hey, did you see...
The Oogie Loves?
Yeah, it couldn't compare, really, to Secret Tale with Soldier Spy in terms of plotting and character.
Right, it's kind of like when you keep the... If you use the phrase, catch Masterpiece Theater last night.
Yeah.
Like, that on hand.
Like, if you like Downton Abbey, you'd probably like Secret Tale with Soldier Spy.
Oh, if you like Downton Abbey, you need to press
not be on his website
on this podcast right now, because we don't want you. Okay, I said it.
So anyway, moving on to the last bit of news for this week, actually, kind of disappointing news. Futurama canceled again, probably for the last time.
Wow,
really? Well, I thought they might pick it up somewhere.
I mean, it's already been picked up, like. Kind of Central picked it up.
Three times, yeah.
But yeah, so September 4th is going to be the series finale of Futurama on Comedy Central.
Was their numbers that bad? Like, I know I wasn't watching it, but I was saving it for, like... But I heard that.
I think it started out really good, and then it just sort of, like, petered off.
Everyone was really psyched about it, and then everyone took it for granted again. So basically the same thing that happened with the first...
I'll just catch up with it when, later.
Yeah. And honestly, Comedy Central is now in the business of making cheaper sort of half-hour shows.
Comedian-based shows.
Arguably, is what Comedy Central should be trying to do.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on them for that. But, I mean, you get, like, an up-and-coming comic who they put on one roast, cough, Anthony Jeselnik, and isn't that funny, cough, cough, Anthony Jeselnik again. And they give him his own show, Anthony Jeselnik, and, you know, it's cheap to produce, and he basically does all the legwork, so props to him, and all they have to do is cash a check. So why wouldn't they want to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Futurama, I mean, there's... licensing rights and all that bullshit, and it costs money to animate.
Mm-hmm. Voice actors. Yeah.
Hell yeah, exactly. It's just cheaper to make, you know, a quick and dirty, like, comedian's show.
Yeah, I'm sure Tosh Podol gets, like, quadruple the viewers of Futurama,
Easily. And it's the cheapest show to produce, too.
Yeah.
For them, which is why it'll always be on until Daniel Tosh leaves, mm-hmm. or doesn't want to do it anymore, or whatever. You know, so yeah, I think that Futurama would be a perfect property for Netflix.
I've read a ton of people saying that.
I think it has everything that they look for. You know, it's got a rabid cult following to begin with. They don't really have original animation, and they just brought over successfully, I might add, all of that Adult Swim content, and that's right in their wheelhouse now.
Mm-hmm.
One might even argue that Adult Swim could bring it back. Or pick it up, they're going
to
do.
It was on Adult Swim, originally, and then Comedy Central bought the rights to it, so it was not...
Right, but they weren't making new episodes on Adult Swim, were they?
No, I think...
It went from Fox into syndicated repeats on... Adult Swim.
And then they did, like, we're going to test out with, like, these three movies.
Exactly, exactly. Well, even FX is making that second channel, like, FX Comedy or whatever.
Oh, yeah, FXX.
FXXXXX or whatever. You know, that might not be a bad place either. Because I know that's where they're moving Legit and Wilfred and
The
League.
All the comedies are going to FXX.
Pretty much anything that isn't Justified or Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
You know? Futurama, it'll always have a following.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
Yep.
It'll always be talked about.
It doesn't have, like,
the internet loves
mainstream
it, so.
Following, but, like, people, you think Futurama, like, it sticks with you. You know, like,
yes.
you grow to appreciate it over time. And it didn't have that Simpsons success.
Like Futurama is like the internet's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a great way to put it, actually, yeah. property of the interweb.
Yeah. Like, everyone on Reddit loves Futurama. Reddit,
yeah,
Tumblr,
listen,
and Dig. And...
It's a great show.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite show. You know, it's not, like, I like The Simpsons more. I like Family Guy more. South Park is my all-time favorite. But, like, it's still a great show.
Yeah.
And I'll still watch it if it's on. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, hopefully they have as good a last episode as, like, when they actually had, like the last episode they had.
Yeah.
Which was the Devil's Hands or Idle Play Things, which is, like, the
mm-hmm.
when Fry sells his hands to the robot devil.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyways, that's it for news. Oh, actually, no, wait, one more bit of news. It was announced last week that they're going to be remaking Weird Science.
Why?
I don't, like, that movie is, like, should, like, it only exists in the 80s. Like, everything about that movie is, like, 80s.
I mean, the concept is funny, like, to have, like,
concept
a virtual... I mean, the, you know, having a virtual woman that you just kind of, like, summon and be like, hey, do some sexy shit.
Just like a weird, like, genie or something.
Yeah, but, like, we have the internet already. Like,
yeah.
We could do it on our own.
I'm sure it's going to be, like, they download this person from the internet or something.
So, like, every episode, she, like, becomes another sexy celebrity.
Well, it's going to be a movie, Chris. It's not going to be a show.
Oh, that's shitty. I actually like the Weird Science TV show. It was pretty funny.
I didn't realize there was a TV show.
It was in USA.
Didn't, like, every 80s movie have a TV show at some point?
About.
Yeah, I forget who's doing that. I think, like, Sony or someone's bringing that back, or Universal or someone. I don't know. It just seems like one of those, like, 80s, like, you should, like, it's so of the 80s that you should probably never even, like, think about. Like, I don't know how you'd modernize it and not make it
hey,
stupid.
People, you may remember this.
Be like, where's, like, the real genius remake?
Oh, God.
I'm waiting for that. I actually like that movie.
That movie's awesome, but yeah, like, it's, like, you shouldn't be, like Revenge of the Nerds.
Remade.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Revenge of the Nerds, I could see, because it's, like, a cultural, like, community, because
no
they make
like,
fun of, like, a subgroup.
Yeah, except there's, like, I don't know, because, like, nerds are cool now, so.
I blame the Family Vacation remake for all this.
Which actually got delayed. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, indefinitely.
Yeah.
Indefinitely. They still have Christina Applegate and Ed Helms attached to star in it. But it's just not actually happening anytime soon, which is very strange. Or at least, let me flip-flop that. It's very strange that they're talking about Weird Science when you have this remake of arguably a more beloved property being delayed indefinitely.
Yeah. It's like, where's like the Zapped remake or something?
Oh, God.
I want my Scott Baio references.
Like, the weird, it's like sci-fi comedy 80s movies.
Well, whatever happened to the Monster Squad remake? Nothing.
I don't know.
Exactly. You know, I was starting to think that maybe people were seeing that it's not a great idea.
No.
To just randomly remake, like, beloved 80s movies.
You know,
like, what are they going to do next after that? You know, are they going to do 16 Candles or Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you know?
Yeah.
Goonies, good God.
I kind of want... I know that a while, like, 10 years ago, they wanted to do a Goonies sequel. But not a remake, but a fucking
that's
sequel.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But a remake? Come on, son.
Did you kickstart,
no, you don't,
did you kickstart
you,
a Goonies sequel?
You don't have to make a remake. You can just add to it, you know? Like, 10 years later or something. Like, I hate to say this, but Sandlot 3? It was not a reboot. It was, like, just a sequel that added to, like, this is what else happened.
There's
here.
There's new
like,
kids.
James Earl Jones.
There's a bunch of...
Like, 2 was, like...
Yeah,
2 was
new
a...
New kids in the same field or something.
Plot.
Yeah.
Well, because...
It's like...
James Earl Jones never fucking moved.
Hey,
or...
guys, it's different. There's a girl this time.
Whoa, radical.
Which I'm fine with. And okay, so that's like the
best worst case scenario of it, the worst case is A Christmas Story 2.
Yeah.
Where, like, they just added to it and it became even worse. Like, it's so bad. I think at Christmas time they don't mention it anymore that there's a sequel.
Well, it only came out last year, Chris.
It just came out last year, yeah.
Well, I doubt they're going to fucking mention it.
No.
No, they're not. That was probably the single most desperate money grab I've ever seen in terms of, like, overdue and unneeded, unnecessary sequels.
Yes.
Just come on.
Alrighty, so, that's actually it for news. So, is there anything you guys think of?
Nope.
Alrighty, so...
Can't help you, man.
Let's get into New Release Roundup. And our pick of the week is Jurassic Park 3D, which is still in theaters, but now you can get it on a Blu-ray 3D if you have a 3D TV.
Well, your home video. Pleasure.
Mm-hmm. I saw it in 3D. It was actually pretty good.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome 3D, so... And it's, I mean, it's still Jurassic Park, which is one of the greatest movies ever made, so...
So really, how can you go wrong?
Mm-hmm. And it's also, like, if you... Because I also had, like, regular Blu-ray in there as well, so... If you didn't want to get, like, that triple pack that they had, if you just want to get Jurassic Park 1...
Which, let's face it, you don't.
I mean, I would say, like, I like Lost World. I know it's, like, it gets shit up on a lot, but,
Oh, yeah, listen, I like Lost World also. I'm just talking about, like, for... Don't buy that trilogy for list price.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
I would
That's
say, like...
definitely something you could wait for, like, a crazy, like Black Friday like thing. Yeah.
And then, like... Because that'd be, like, basically getting Jurassic Park 3 for free. And then you just, like, yes. toss it out, uses a coaster or something.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So also this week we have Gangster Squad.
Oh.
Which
and
I didn't
it came
see,
out.
But kind of interesting to see. It's from Ruben Fleischer, directed Zombieland, and 3 minutes or less, so.
It looked cool.
I heard
it's just,
mixed,
you know.
Very, very mixed things about it. Like, I heard it's super over-the-top violent.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's too serious, it should be more campy, and a lot of people are like, it's too campy, it should be more serious. I don't know what's going on.
What?
Make up your mind.
I also have The Impossible, which is, Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor, they're British people in, like, I think India or somewhere, and there's a tsunami.
No, they're in Hawaii.
They're in Hawaii? I thought they were, like, Asia somewhere. Because it's supposed to be like about the Asian tsunami.
The flooding.
Yeah.
I thought they were like somewhere not like tropical.
I think it was originally like a Spanish.
Thailand.
Yeah.
They're in Thailand.
It was originally like a Spanish family because like, I think it's a remake of a Spanish movie. And they just put like the two whitest people they could possibly find and put it in there. But they're definitely in, like, I think you're in, like, Thailand or something. And like,
Thailand. Like, it was filmed in some parts, like, somewhere not,
yeah, I'm
like,
sure they,
in Thailand.
I'm sure it's cheaper to do it in, like, Hawaii than, like, Thailand. So.
Yeah.
I think Naomi Watts got nominated for an Oscar for that, so.
Best being pushed by water, Naomi Watts. Best role for being washed.
And then, kind of in the same vein of movies we don't really care about, but, like, I guess old people or someone doing, Promised Land, Matt Damon.
Jesus Christ.
He's going around trying to, like, convince this town to, like, sell their land for hydrofracking for oil.
Good.
So that was a thing.
Yep.
Also a thing, Haunted House. That's on DVD Blu-ray this week.
Actually heard it was very funny.
I heard it's better than Scary Movie 5, so I guess that's something.
I thought they were the same movie.
I think they announced them the same.
Wait, they're not?
They have the same title font and the same plot. They're both parodies of Paranormal Activity.
Like, I actually thought the Wayans brothers still own Scary Movie.
No, it's David Zucker is the one who does Scary Movie.
God, Chris, get it right.
Yeah.
You dick.
We also have Marvel Knights Inhumans out this week, which is based on the Inhumans graphic novel. So,
hopefully coming soon to Netflix.
What is it? What? I'm blanking his name. The Inhumans. Black.
black something with the wings.
And he can't talk because his voice will destroy everything.
Yeah, Mantis? The dog.
Yeah, yep.
The big
Mantis. What? It's Mantis.
Black Bolt. Then there was
Black Bolt. And there's, like, his wife is Medusa, and she has crazy hair.
Crazy red hair.
Yep, that can, like, wrap, like, it's like snakes, and just wrap people up with it. And then they go in, like, this mist, and then they come out with it from the mist, and they have powers. And sometimes they turn into horrible mutants. And I remember, like, Hulk, in World War Hulk, he, like, the first thing Hulk did was, like, smash Black Bolt in the face. Just, like, basically killed him. Like, it was, like, Hulk on, like, the front of a spaceship, like, just, like his, like, punch cocked and ready to, like, punch Black Bolt in the face.
Black Bolt died?
Well, like, he got, like, just super knocked out for the rest of, and then he, like, just never showed up for the rest of World War Hulk.
Well, I saw the end of World War Hulk. Like,
and I think Black Bolt's part of the Illuminati, so. Like, the Marvel,
really?
The Marvel Illuminati, yeah.
I thought it was just, like, five people in the Illuminati. Xavier, Doctor Strange, Iron Man,
Namor left. So I think Black Bolt was there too, though.
Ah.
But anyway, also have on Blu-ray, Great Gatsby, starring Robert Redford and Mia Farrow. Just in time for the crazy hip hop.
In time before the weird musical to ruin everything about the
Jay-Z powered Great Gatsby movie's coming up.
They make it seem like it's great. It's a great time to be in the 1930s.
Well, it's 20s, Chris. So it is. A
great 1920s. It's
the jazz age.
Yeah, it's like where
everyone was listening to Jay-Z.
Everyone was listening to Jay-Z classical rap, and no one gave a crap about rich black, whatever.
Hey, can I tell you guys a secret?
Yeah.
The book sucks.
It's an American classic, Joe.
It sucks. It's like Catcher in the Rye. It sucks. It was great at the time, but if you pick it up and read it now, you're a douchebag. Okay? Unless you're a student and you have to read it, in which case, you know, do your thing, boo-boo.
There's definitely much better, like, classics you could be reading.
Oh, come on.
But did you actually look at Scott Fitzgerald's life where, like, All he did was write down everything his wife nagged about, and he put it in the book.
Yep.
And, like,
it's a classic.
It's a classic.
Which makes him a pussy, because opium was legal back then, and cocaine was available at the drugstore. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I'm going to write down my feelings.
No, he wrote down his wife, like, his crazy wife's antics, and that was, like, five characters in his book. Yeah, true, he could have handled it a lot better, but it's kind of funny to think about that.
Yeah, no, it is.
So, also this week we have Pawn, which is a direct-to-DVD movie. It's got Ray Liotta, Michael Chiklis, Common,
nice.
Forrest Whitaker, and a bunch of other people in it. So I don't know how, like, where this movie just, like, was, like, sitting before, like, someone found it, but apparently it is, there's a robbery at, like, a diner, and then there's, like, an off-duty cop there, and a bunch of other crazy stuff happens, and, like, there's, like, this crazy hostage situation at this diner.
Good.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
We also have Iron Man Armored Adventures, Season 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, that show's not very good.
Kid Iron Man. Yeah. He can't drink. He doesn't hit on Pepper. Like, it's very illegal for them to do things.
Yeah. And then we have Cheech and Chong's animated movie.
What?
Yes, it's an animated Cheech and Chong movie.
That's a thing.
Like, it's nice that they're still going strong for, like, 30 years, but... What?
Mm-hmm.
It's like seeing a Betty Boop movie. Like, it's just, what?
They're like a week late for that, though.
What? Oh, yeah. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You get it, listeners?
Drugs are bad. Okay.
So, why don't we get to show and tell and talk about what we've been seeing for the last week or so. So, Joe, what have you been watching?
Okay, well, first let me just say that I've been watching a few episodes of Ultimate Spider-Man here and there.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, if you give it a chance, it's actually quite good. At its best, it can be a very, very, very good show. At its worst, it is kind of like a weird ADD Family Guy, you know, callback sort of show. But I like it. I like it. And I think the less that he sort of works with, like, the kid Avengers, the happier I am. Like, I just saw the episode where he, like, fights slash teams up with Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty much by himself the whole time. And so far, it's definitely my favorite episode. So, good stuff. Additionally, I finally cracked open the James Bond Blu-ray box set that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will make this confession. I have not seen every James Bond movie. And more, I guess, shocking than that, is that I haven't seen most of the James Bond movies in the last, like, 10 years. So, pretty much, like, I've seen all the important ones, but a lot of them were, like, when I was much younger. You know?
Like,
and, like, catching
it,
like on
Brosnan's?
USA. No. Like, I've seen those. Don't get
oh,
me
like,
wrong. Cause, like,
Casino Royale and stuff?
Man, I'm talking about, like, some of the Connery movies. I'm talking about some of the old ones, like the 70s and 80s and shit. Like, I'm saying I've seen most of them, like, at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not seen most of the James Bond movies, other than the ones that have, like, come out in theaters in the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there are a lot of movies that, like, for instance, let me just get right into it. I saw Dr. No.
Yes.
On Sunday. And I have to say, if you have not seen the Blu-ray version of this movie, definitely do that. I mean, this box set is absolutely tremendous. When you look at the level of detail and attention and love that was put into restoring this movie, it was made in 1962, okay? And this high definition on a big screen looks and sounds better than most television that comes out, like, nowadays. It's really, like, just flabbergasting, like, how good of a job they did in restoring it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that alone was very fucking impressive. But, goddamn, if Dr. No isn't one of the most badass movies of all time.
It's,
I mean,
it's
good
kind
God.
Of weird compared to the other Bond movies, because it's just, like, they haven't figured out the formula yet.
Exactly, which is why I liked it so much. It's kind of like Bond Begins,
like
in this weird
like
way.
Like, they don't really know, like, where they should put the song, so they just put the song everywhere.
They put the song everywhere.
Like, this is, like, the scene where, like, he's just, like, wandering around his hotel room, just, like, trying to figure out, like, set it up so, like, he can figure out if someone came to his room later. And it's, like, him just, like,
yeah.
I'm putting my piece of hair on my door here. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Which was very cool. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, they don't even really, like, explore that again. You know, he just kind of comes back and he's like, ah, my stuff's been messed with. I'm going to open a new bottle of Smirnoff.
Yep.
Now I'm going to go to bed. Zounds, a tarantula. You know?
Yeah.
It's a great movie, but it's kind of got this weird, like, it's more of a, like, sort of sleuthing
yes.
movie than it is a, like, Bond movie.
Yeah, it's not like slam-bam action.
Right, it's not, not by any stretch of the imagination. It's just like, wonder who this guy is, gonna fuck this secretary, wonder who this guy is.
Bar.
Go to
this
bar. Yeah.
And Dr. No, he travels a lot. It's either him driving, him
well,
being
that's what
like,
I'm saying.
Yeah, just like driving all over Jamaica, like trying to figure out what's going
it's
on.
Pretty
caring,
much, it's pretty much a detective movie, man. It's old school sleuthing.
Yeah.
At its best, I think. But just, I mean, is there anything more classic in cinema than the first time we see James Bond, you know,
at
casino?
At the Baccarat game, yeah.
Like, it's just, yeah, man, it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he handles that broad. Beautiful.
It definitely,
absolutely beautiful.
Definitely Goldfinger is, like, the first, like, true Bond movie.
Yes, absolutely. And, yes, listeners, I've seen Goldfinger. I'm just saying. Like, it's not like, you know, that was my whole reasoning in buying the box set, like, when it was on sale or whatever. because, I mean, I personally just think that they're a part of movie history that you should own if you have the means to own them and are interested in them. It doesn't mean you need to watch them every day, but you never know when you're going to feel like throwing on a Bond movie or, like, you know, whatever. So that's my project, I think, for the summer, is to go back and, like, rewatch all of the Bond movies, like, now being in my 20s mm-hmm. versus being, like, 11.
I need to see...
and, like, stumbling upon it on TV.
I need to see On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Because, like, there's, like, this weird, like, it was, like, I think it was, like, one of the, like, was, like, it was, like, one of the most hated Bond movies for, like, ever. And then, like, this, like, in, like, I've seen the last, like, 5-10 years, it's gotten, like, this, like, really, like, resurgence of, like, oh, man, it's, like, one of the best Bond movies ever.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit weird.
It's true the books more than it was for the movies.
And I've heard, like, the opening is, like, probably one of the best openings ever for Bond, with, like, the skiing, like, it's, like, the skiing sequence.
Yeah. Very famous.
Mm-hmm. Just, if George Lazenby just didn't, like, drink him, like, just do tons of drugs and drink himself to death, then he probably would have been Bond for a while.
Isn't he still alive?
Yeah, but, like, if you watch, like, the Bond, like, that Bond documentary, Everything or Nothing, like, he's, like, he just basically, is, like, all he did was, like, pretend he was James Bond the entire time, and just go to bars and just drink the entire bar. And then, like,
that's what I would
and
do.
Then,
I mean, let's be serious.
And then, like, he got, like, he just joins a bunch of hippies, and, like, he was growing a beard, and, like, he grew his hair out, and then, like, the Bond producer was like, George, you have to shave and cut your hair. He's like, no way, man.
That's sad.
Yeah. So they're like, well, you're fired.
Connery just don't get Connery drunk and mention women. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, well, Connery got pissed off at, like, one of the, I think it was, like, it might have been, yeah, I think it was Broccoli, or Broccoli, because he's, like, they got into, like, this huge bat, like, argument about, like, Connery should get paid more for the movies because they're huge hits, so, but then he came back for Diamonds Are Forever. Definitely, like, is that documentary part of the set, Joe?
I believe it is.
Because that documentary is awesome, you should definitely check that out, too.
I know it's on Netflix also. And
yeah,
like,
it's amazing.
I really want to watch it, but I feel like I should see all the movies. Like, I should finish out my project first, you know?
Yeah.
Because basically, at this point, I'm going into every movie, like, or, you know, just about every movie, like, as a virgin, pretty much, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah. Just having not seen them in so long, or at all, some of them, so should be,
like,
good.
I know we talked about, like, you didn't see a lot of Roger Moore movies, because they're, like...
Oh, barely. I think I only saw, like, one. So, yeah.
They're confusing. They're, like, wacky Bond adventures.
Especially, like,
they
like,
are a little
like,
bit.
The last, like, 3 or 4 Roger Moore movies are just, like, completely just bonkers.
What's the most bonkers? Like, Moonraker, probably?
Probably Moonraker.
No, that's actually one of the best.
Like, what's,
really?
What's the one where, like, he dresses like a clown, Chris?
Oh, fuck me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is fucking...
And then, like, he's constantly, like, teaming up with, like, basically, like, Boss Hogg from Dukes of Hazzard for, like, a bunch of movies.
Yep. Yep. Freaking Spy Who Loved Me, I think. Or it's the first time they had Jaws. So it was pre-Moonraker, because mm-hmm. Jaws wasn't last seen from that. So it was either, like, The Spy Who Loved Me or For Your Eyes Only.
I think For Your Eyes Only is, like, one of the better Roger Moore ones.
Yes, it is.
It has ups and downs. Like,
because that was like, because For Your Eyes Only is like basically just like a straightforward Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like, it's not like wacky. It's not like as wacky as like it gets in like.
Oh no, Live and Let Die is the quintessential like Roger Moore movie.
That was like, wasn't that the first Roger Moore movie too?
But it's just like it starts so strong because it's him as a British guy in the U.S.
for no
he's
reason.
Taking on
yep.
No reason. He's taking on a black drug lord who pretends to be two different black people. Like, it's just the craziest plot.
He's running across crocodiles and stuff, and, like, he inflates, like, turns the guy into, like, a human balloon and blows him up.
There's, like, a slave lore character he fights. Like,
Catcher Freeman?
No, like it. There's, like, there's actually it's, like, a southern slave tale about, like, a voodoo priest
Baron
that will Samedi? Like it, Baron Samedi. He's actually like a fucking real thing. Like I did not
like he's a voodoo like mythological character.
Yeah, but it's why is it a Bond movie, you know? It's the weirdest. It's like, what if in the next Bond movie he fights like a fucking golem? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, the Roger Moore movie's like, Roger Moore's not my favorite Bond by a long shot.
Oh no.
He's some good people's favorite Bond, but.
So when I read the backs of all of the Timmy Dalton movies, they're all really similar, and they're just like the modern Bond movies too, where like he's a rogue agent, doesn't follow the rules.
Like that was like the Daniel Craig reboots before, like the way too early.
Yeah, way too early.
Because like they're like super gritty, super like let's go back to the novels and make Bond super dark, and everyone hated it.
But now they love it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
So, oh well.
So, anything else, Joe, besides the Bond movies?
No, that's pretty much it. Just some TV here and there, you know, Mad Men, all that stuff.
Yep. Goddamn
stuff, though. Good stuff. That Peggy.
Yep. She's a go-getter.
That mousy little bitch. Like to hit her in the face with a phone book.
So, Chris, what are you watching?
Okay, so I started watching The Campaign.
Yep.
And like it's a good Will Ferrell movie. It's a decent Zach Galifianakis movie. But Will Ferrell's playing Ricky Bobby like throughout the whole fucking movie.
Congressman Ricky Bobby.
Congressman Ricky Bobby. Like I just felt like, oh, it's just Ricky Bobby, but instead of, like the same thing happens to him. It's like the same plot where like it's a guy keeping his status and then he gets overshadowed by someone new. His wife leaves him.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, oh, I've seen this movie before. But it's good. Like, it's a good formula. It's not my top Will Ferrell movies. Like, they keep shifting. But it's a decent movie. Like, it's got certain moments that just, like, out of nowhere, something funny would just pop up. You know, mm-hmm. Like, Dylan McDermott scenes are awesome. Because
yes.
He takes stuff so seriously during the whole movie. And then as he starts degrading as a character, like, he starts getting drunk. He shows up, like, I like when they're talking about him and he's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fun scenes. But yeah, like, I thought this movie had, like, a weird message, too. Like, it gets too political in a political movie. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, did you guys feel that when you were watching it?
Yeah, I try not to dwell on it, though. Wasn't it an Adam McKay movie?
No, I think it was a G. Roach.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, Adam McKay, like, I like his movies, but he just needs to shut the fuck up. You know?
Mm.
Like, everything's got those, like, political undertones. Where it's like, well, if you were just be a Democrat and put Michael Moore's balls in your mouth, everything would be fine. Like, okay, well, how about we just get back to the plot of the movie now? You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's certain scenes where it just kind of gets really, like, realistic and, like, not funny. Like, it gets kind of dramatic real fast. You're like, oh, okay, this is... And then it gets funny again. You're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I liked it. It's a good comedy. I don't know if I should have saw it in theaters. I'm happy I saw it at home. I'll say that.
It's a good rental.
Yeah, it is a good rental. The second movie I saw, which is just like, well, it's on. I'm not going to stop it, was Seeking Friends for the End of the World.
Okay, yep.
You guys ever remember this?
That was a movie last year, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, movie last year. Steve Carell is Steve Carell. Not even like Michael Scott. Actually, no, he's got like a tad bit of Michael Scott in him. And it's just like the world's ending in like less than a month. And he wants to go rekindle a relationship with like his ex sweetheart from high school, and he meets Keira Knightley, and that's it.
Knightley.
And this movie, I can sum up in saying, like, is consolation prize the movie. And it's like, his consolation prize isn't that bad. His consolation prize is Keira Knightley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his high school sweetheart, I get it. He, like, wants to die, like, knowing that he rekindled love, but, like, he partnered out with Keira Knightley, and it's like, well, they're gonna fall in love. And they did. And I was like, ah.
And there's a bunch of random cameos in it.
Holy shit, this movie is jam-packed with so many cameos. Like, not even, like, low-brow cameos by comedians or anything. It's like, it starts simple, like Roger Corddry, Patton Oswalt,
mm-hmm.
and then it snowballs, so, like, Martin Sheen, like really, really like big name actors just kind of pop up, like William Peterson, the guy who played Grissom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's in it. I was like, holy shit.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. The chick from Community's in it.
Yep.
TJ Miller. TJ
Miller's
in it. And a really funny scene. Like, basically, they have this like, Fridays.
Yeah, him and Chili and Jacobs, they work at, like, TJ Fridays, basically. They turn into, like, everyone gets to eat for free.
Like, because it's, like, where they realize they spend so much time in their life there that it's, like, now they get to just run it the way they like it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad, and it's, like, funny because of that. And at the end, it's funny because, like, the overtoning theme of the movie is, like, if you can't love the one you want, love the one you're with. And it's just like, yeah, well, you can't love, like, your ex-girlfriend, but you could love Keira Knightley if you hang out with her long enough. Mm-hmm. And she'll fall in love with you, too. And that's another thing, like, I kind of see, like, they kind of shoehorn this love story, because it's like, for no reason should Steve Carell date Keira Knightley. Like, be like, yeah, I love you. Like, there's just, like, there's not enough fucking time. There's not enough chemistry. But, like, this like, apocalypse kind of forces them to be like, oh, you know, you're kind of cute. like, in another setting, this would never fucking happen. So,
you know,
it's got a good message. I'm not going to deny that. Like, hope, like, you know, trying to save yourself, like, soul-wise, because, spoiler alert, the Earth is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that,
isn't it a meteor, I think, right?
Yeah, a meteor the size of, like, half the Earth, named Matilda, is just colliding with the planet, mm-hmm. and the humans kind of just like, well, and it's funny, because it's like, slowly everyone's kind of realizing that, like, life is getting kind of, like, crazy, and, like, your everyday life, you should make something worth it. And everyone's backup plan is always love. You know, like, oh, I should at least love someone, you know, like, I should love someone, like, mentally, so, like, I died knowing that, blah, blah, blah. That's poetic and all, but, and then it's like, and then out of nowhere, just, like, people start killing themselves in it. Like, it's funny because it's just, like, black humor. There's tons of black humor during this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, in the beginning of the movie, they have this going away for the Earth where, like, kids are drinking alcohol, they're taking heroin, like, they're just getting fucked up. They're like, well, like, there's no reason not to now. Like, what am I saving myself for?
That's and, basically like... basically every Thursday for us, so...
You know. I think the best one is Patton Oswalt kind of explains it where, like, the apocalypse is just, like, leveling the field where, like, there's no advantage anymore. Like, as long as you're on this planet, like, everyone's free game to just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on, like, you can have sex with anyone, no condoms, not even if they're related. And it's, like, this really crazy scene where Patton Oswalt's like, you want to double-stuff this bitch? Let's go double-stuff this bitch. Let's go cream filler. And Steve Carell is just kind of like, no, oh, no, get away from But, like, it's got a good message, and it's definitely, like, it's more of a chick flick than it is, like, a comedy. Like, there's elements sprinkled in there, but you kind of, like, you start rooting for Keira Knightley more than you do for Steve Carell. And Steve Carell's the main hero, like, he's the star of the movie, so it's weird.
It's probably a good thing that movie came out last year, not this year, because this year there's, like, three apocalypse movies coming out this
year. I what's the one with Seth Rogen and all those guys?
This is the end. And then there's At World's End, or like the World's End, which is the Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, Edgar Wright movie. And there's like a David Cross indie apocalypse movie.
Yeah, that looks really
funny. I can't remember the name of it.
Like the dinner party thing or whatever. Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, like this is the end is like, way, like, it knows it's going to be a comedy. This movie tried to be, like, everything at once.
Seeking Your Friend for the World seems like a, like, indie, hipstery...
The music...
Yeah.
Every time you hear it, you always think of Plaid. Like, you think of thick-rimmed glasses for no reason.
Yeah.
Think of, like, a sad fat girl playing a ukulele. Like, something really weird about the music.
Like, everyone at Portlandia would love that shit.
Yeah.
Yes, it is like the soundtrack of Portlandia mm-hmm. is in this movie. That's why I liked it, but like I liked it for the wrong reasons. You know, I was like, oh, this is, and it should feel like it looks like a low budget movie, but it's like really high budgeted. Like it does a lot of scenes. They're like, well, that costs a lot of money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So anything else, Chris?
No, that's it. I think I talked enough about Machine Gun Friends End of the World. I talked a lot more than like actual like reviewers did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that movie did terrible in theaters.
You don't really have like an advertising budget to bet like or anything really. Like no one ever, it's like it's kind of one of those ones like the a month before it came out they're like, hey, this movie's coming out. But anyway, as far as what I've been watching, just quick, I watched a couple of movies with riff tracks. I saw The Hunger Games riff tracks, which was pretty awesome. They do a bunch of great, like, there's, like, constantly, like, yelling at Lenny Kravitz, like, stop talking, or, like, it's like, who gave Kravitz a line?
Hmm. And oh, wait, who was the guest on that one?
It was just the three guys. It was Mike, Bill, and Kevin.
I see.
And they do, like, you've seen the Hunger Games, Chris. So, like, you know the scene where, like, they dropped, like, the hornets on them?
Above the tree that they just sleep under?
So, they obviously did a Wicker Man joke at that moment. Of,
not the hornets, yeah, not the hornets!
Yeah, well, they did, like, basically, they did the whole not the bees scene. Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey! And do a bunch of, like, a lot of, like, every riff track, like, builds off of, like, the last riff tracks. So, like, there's, like...
that's hard.
They're always doing, like... there's always, like, a Roadhouse joke. There's always, like a Wicker Man joke. There's always, like, a... they always, like, just keep going back to, like, all their old riffs. And then I also watched the riff tracks for Reefer Madness.
Nice.
Which, I don't know, have you guys ever seen Reefer Madness?
Yes, I have.
Clips of it.
It is, like I don't even know how you make something that insane. like consciously make something that insane. And it's basically, like, well, it's not even, like, it shouldn't even be Reefer Madness. It should be, like, PCP Madness, because that's basically what's, like, happening, is, like, they're, like, smoking weed and then, like, just, like, raging out and, like, trying to murder each other and, like, there's a trial and, like, people are, like, running over people, like, pedestrians and cars, and...
Yeah, man, it's really fucked up, considering that the whole motivation for making that, and for making marijuana illegal in the first place, was because they were trying to get hemp as a commodity off the market completely. So, basically, what they did was just prey on the fears of, like, well-to-do white men, and be like, hey, did you know that marijuana makes Mexicans and blacks, like... unkempt and full of rage and lust after your wives. Oh, my God, we have to outlaw this. It turns teenagers into Martians. Crazy shit.
Yeah, it's perfect for riff tracks, though.
Oh, I think it was actually made because one of the riff tracks guys traveled back in time.
Yeah.
To make it.
Yep.
So that we could have it in the future.
Because it's like... Every line reading and every, like, scene is just so awkward and ridiculous. Like, it's just perfect. Like, everything that is a perfect joke for it. Like,
yeah.
the main, like, drug dealer guy just, like, invites, like, random teenagers up to his apartment to smoke weed for no reason. Like, that's his whole thing. And, like, he's just, like, constantly, like, yelling at his wife and, like, eating stuff out the, like, he's, like, every other scene he's, like, walking in the kitchen, like, trying to eat, like, a, like how many meals does this guy eat? So he's, like, always, like, make some food, but his teenagers are smoking weed in the living room.
Yeah.
And he just, like, walks down to, like, the local, like, warehouse to buy the weed from, like, this, like dock owner or something, this warehouse owner.
Great, great nod to that in the L.A. Noire downloadable content.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
For Reefer Madness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just like, this marijuana factory.
Yep.
Phelps.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, man. And that's on Hulu if you want to watch it, so.
Boy.
There's actually, like, there's actually a ton of riff tracks on Hulu for free if you want to check them out. Like,
that's good.
Planet of the Living Dead is on there for free. You can watch
whoa,
that.
Whoa, really?
Yep.
Shit.
Planet 9 from Outer Space, House on Haunted Hill. And there's also, like, a bunch of their shorts they did, too, which are all insane. Like, how to use the calendar. Or, like, The Wonderful World of the Egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so I watched those. I watched Iron Man, Rise of the Technovore.
Oh, how was it?
It made me realize why I don't watch anime at all.
Fuck.
Really? I thought the Wolverine was the one that killed it for you.
It was, I mean, I didn't even just all, just all anime in general, Chris. I don't watch anime. But, I think it was definitely better than, like, the actual, like, Marvel animes, but, it's still...
Those butcher jobs.
It's still really, like, I don't really know what was happening or who, like the whole plot is, like, there is this, new villain who has crazy, like, bio-organic armor, and he comes and, like, blows up this, well, Tony's trying to launch this, like this, satellite called Howard. It's gonna, like, SHIELD's gonna use it to, like, monitor the entire planet. So they, like, this group tries to go and sabotage it, and then, like, Tony thinks Rhodey got killed in the explosion, so he's off in, like, revenge and SHIELD's after him, because they need Tony to, like, be, like, the witness to, like, what happened, because he's the only one who saw what happened. Yeah. So, like, SHIELD's after Tony, and then Tony's trying to, like, track down this crazy bioorganic villain guy, who turns out is, like, Ezekiel Stane, who is Obadiah Stane's son. But he's, like, super, like, just, like, the most stereotypical, like, anime villain you could possibly imagine, of, like, super, like, androgynous, like, talk, like, blonde hair, super pale, like, just talks in, like, the most, like, bullshit, like, philosophical discussions of, like, the humanity is an organism that must be evolved from the seeds of the Mother Earth to the
queer.
I will evolve the Earth using technology to, you are obsolete, Tony Stark.
Broken English translations, Mr. Stark.
Yeah. And then, yes, Tony, basically the whole movie, Tony's trying to, like, track down where Ezekiel is, and then he goes to, like, Pakistan and meets the Punisher, who's in Pakistan for some reason, like, tracking down AIM people. And the Punisher's only in that one sequence. He's in it for, like, 10 minutes, even though he's, like, prominently on the box. So, like, Tony and Punisher team up for, like, this one sequence in Pakistan.
Why is he in Pakistan?
Because he's hunting down, like, AIM arms dealers for some reason that they don't explain. And they don't really, like, he's like, and Tony's like, hey, Frank, I know you're trying to, like, get revenge on these AIM guys, but I need your help for this mission. And, like, yeah, so, like, Tony and Frank know each other, apparently, like, super well.
They go way back.
They go way back, yeah. And also, like, Hawkeye and Black Widow are trying to track down Tony. And so, yeah, it's just typical, like, anime BS insanity, yeah. And, I mean, it's got some cool action sequences, but, like, it's, like...
Well, they're pretty, probably,
yeah, Tony fighting, like, random mechs. Because yeah. It's anime, so I see, like, just a ton of mechs for no reason. So, yeah, if you liked the Marvel animes, which I don't know why you would, but if you did, I'm sure you probably like this movie. Everyone else, I'd say probably, if you don't like anime, I'd say definitely avoid it. I'd rather have, like, a normal, like, Iron Man animated movie or something to go with the Iron Man 3. Like, yeah. I don't, like, where's, like, they're supposed to be doing that, like, Iron Man and Hulk team-up movie, which I don't know where that is. I guess later this year it's coming out, but I'd rather have that than this insanity.
Okay.
And then I watched, I actually watched the first couple episodes of Defiance on Sci-Fi.
What'd you think?
Actually, it's got a lot of potential, I think, so far. It's probably the closest thing that we, like, closest to, like, a Firefly that we have. And it's, like, it's got, like, sort of the same sort of, like, Western, it's like a sci-fi Western feel to it. Because it's, like, in, like...
I thought it looked more like a Terminator Salvation feel to it.
It's, well, it's basically, like, Defiance is, like, this town, but it's actually, like, it's formerly St. Louis, but now it's Defiance because there was... Basically, the backstory is, like, these eight alien species came to Earth. It's, like, this, like, weird, like, migration sort of thing. And they tried to, like, come, like, they're trying to, like, terraform Earth, and there's, like, this big war. And, basically, a bunch of the ships that were in orbit crashed on Earth and, like, unleashed, like, their terraforming chemicals or, like, whatever technology they had. So, like, the Earth got completely just ravaged and, like, mutated by, like, this terraforming stuff. So now, like, there's, like, all the cities, like, underground, like, are, like, grown over with jungle or, like, a lot of the cities are destroyed and there's, like, crazy, like, mutant animals running around. But eventually there's, like, this, like, peace treaty between, like, humanity and, like, the aliens. So now, like, Defiance is this town that, like, all the aliens and humans live together. And, like, it's basically, like a western border town. It's, like, a mining town, basically. Because, like, their big thing is, like, they have a mine that they get, like, minerals out of and stuff. And then the main guy shows up. He's, like, a scavenger, like, and, like, technology. Like, he's just... Ships fall from orbit, and, like, there's a lot of, like, people, like, running around trying to, like, pull the technology out of them and sell it. So that's what he was doing at the beginning of the show, and then he ends up in Defiance and, like, becomes, like, the sheriff, basically, of the town. And then, like, Julie Benz is, like, the mayor of the town.
Because she speaks authority.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and then it's, like, there's, like, all the crazy alien species in the and then, like, there's a lot of, like, Well, the whole plot of the first episode is, like, they're trying to, like, track down... There's someone trying to, like, blow... Like, cause, like, the town to get overrun or, like, destroy the town, basically, for some reason. So they're trying to figure out who that is and, like, stop it. And, So it seems like it's going to be kind of, like, case of the week a little bit of, like... Or, like, the sheriff guy trying to, like, figure out... Like, stop crimes from happening in Defiance. And then there's, like, this overarching plot, like, these people... Like, who's trying to destroy the town...
Did you see, like, if you play the game, and if you do really well in it, like, if your rank goes up, they actually will feature a character? Like, they'll name someone after you? Yeah.
I've seen, like, because, yeah, they have the game, too, where, like, it ties into the show. I think it's, like, before the show aired, they had, like, it's, like, special missions that, like, you could, like, play. It's, like, you were running around with, like, the two main characters from the show in the game, and it shows, like, what they were doing before the show started. So it's kind of like the missions were like a prequel to the show. I think they're doing like missions every week. There's like missions based on the episode or something as well.
Yeah. Like it's kind of cool, but like it's weird. Like it's really weird marketing. I like it. I just don't understand it yet. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's got like, it's like super old school, like a practical alien makeup and stuff. Like,
that's cool.
Like old school, like Babylon 5 or something, like a Farscape or something like that, you know?
We're gonna melt a lot of latex on you. Like, okay, let's just do this.
Yeah, or just paint you entirely white and give you like super long white hair. or you're a giant space ape.
I met that white chick from Farscape at MegaCon.
Mm-hmm.
She was there.
From Farscape or Defiance?
No. From, if you're talking about like, Farscape.
Okay, yeah.
The one you're talking about. They kind of remade her character, like, in the game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But even, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Farscape was a weird precursor to Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it.
Yeah. Except with, like, more Muppets.
Yeah, tons more.
But yeah, so Defiance seems like a pretty fun show, so I definitely, like, if you're, like, it's not as good as Firefly, but it's definitely, like, if you've been hankering for something along that line. It's a pretty good show. and then I also watched OSS 117, Lost in Rio, which is from the same team who brought you The Artist. They made a pair of spy movies, or spy comedy movies, in like early 2000s, I think. They're both super hilarious. Like, if you like Archer or Black Dynamite, you should definitely check these out because they're super spot on. Like you were talking about Dr. No earlier, Joe. Like they're like definitely of like the Connery era of Bonds. Like they're just parodying like every aspect of those.
Cool.
And Lost in Rio basically is like, so Jean Dujardin from The Artist is Agent 117, who's like France's best secret agent. He's also like this like just super like chauvinistic, like super, like somebody like super like, incompetent, but like somehow bumbles his way to like.
Oh, he's a Johnny.
Yeah, like, well, like, like super, just like super overconfident, like super like, like, like kind of like art, like kind of like Archer, where like somehow
he's
like
uncannily good at his job,
like,
even though
like, uncannily good at his job, even though he's like should not be in any way. And so basically the plot of this one is that he has to go to Rio de Janeiro to track down this Nazi who's like hiding out there, and he teams up with like the Mossad, and then the agent he gets paired up with for the Mossad is like this like female agent, and he's just constantly like just like belittling her and being like, well, like when he first meets her, he's like, well, talk to me when you need something heavy carried, and then it's like constantly being like, who's this? Who's your secretary? Or like, why are you giving me a secretary? Because like it's set in like in the '60s, so just like a ton of that like.
Oh good, the '60s was a great time for diversity.
Yeah, like go pour me a drink, sweetie. The men are talking.
Great line from Goldfinger.
And tons of it starts out with like he's having like basically like a Stewie sexy party with like a bunch of like Asian girl, like women like in like Switzerland. And like these like triad guys burst in, like try to like kill him, and like there's a big shootout, and like pretty much everyone's killed, even like all the girls are killed except for one. He's like, well, that could have went badly. And then like just like this like awesome running joke of like him, like he's undercover as like a reporter in Rio de Janeiro, so like he's like constantly like taking pictures of things. So like he'll just like stop in the middle of like shootout, or like they're like walking through the jungle, they're like just like constantly snapping pictures, and like. Yeah, in the movie, they like show like all his pictures he's taken. They're like all horrible. So yeah, they're both on Netflix. So definitely, like if you like the Bond movie, like if you like the Bond like the early like Connery movies, and they're definitely worth checking. Like definitely like Black Dynamite too, because like they like perfectly match like the style of, like those like Connery Bond movies. Like it's like they're like a lot of, like they're like kind of grainy, and they have like. Green screen, like blue screen, like car driving sequences and stuff. So they're definitely worth checking out. And then last thing I saw Oblivion, the new Tom Cruise sci-fi thriller. Review for that is up on the site. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It looks like the best thing about it is that. It looks amazing. Like it's like Prometheus level of like special effects. Wow. And like all like the destroyed landscapes look amazing. Like the ship designs and the drones, like the futuristic houses and stuff, they all look like it's from the guy who made Tron Legacy, so of course all that stuff's gonna look awesome. But it kinda has the same problem, like it was in Tron Legacy and also this one, where, like it's kind of like more style over substance because the plot kind of just like drag, like drags on and like it doesn't really match the quality of the special effects. So basically the basic plot is that Tom Cruise is part of a 2-man team on Earth. There's a big war with like this invading alien force. They blew up the moon, and then
sure, why not?
Like you do,
yeah. And so, caused a bunch of earthquakes, a bunch of tsunamis. Basically, like, half the world got destroyed right there. And then there's a big war that followed, and then we stopped the aliens with our nukes. But that's basically like nuke like half the planet got radiated. So like half the planet's destroyed, half the planet's radiated. So everyone left to go to. They made a colony on Titan, Chris.
Yeah. I know where that is.
Yeah. And then and they also have like a space station called the Tet, which is in orbit. And basically what Tom Cruise's job is to protect these giant power converters that are hovering over like the oceans, and they're sucking in salt water and converting it to fusion energy. And so they're using the energy to like send it to Titan so they can power this new colony. And then eventually Tom Cruise... In like a couple weeks, like Tom Cruise and his partner Victoria are gonna be able to go to Titan as well, and then stuff happens where like there's like a, like the there's like kind of like remaining aliens on the planet. So like they start attacking the water stations, and then like some other things happen, and then Tom Cruise's character is like kind of like questioning what's actually going on, and then other stuff happens. Because I don't really want to spoil it, but yeah, the main panel is like it was actually in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler, but like Morgan Freeman shows up eventually, and he basically has like a task that he wants Tom Cruise's character to do, and the task seems like it should be pretty urgent, like it affects like the entire planet possibly, but then once they do that, like it's like another like half hour or 45 minutes of like Tom Cruise is like wandering around the planet and like looking at things and like hanging out by a lake in a cabin they built, and like he's collecting things like Wally and having weird memories of things. So it's like it's just like the pacing is like completely like off, for like they raise the stakes like to like a crazy level, and then it's like it's just like, and we're just gonna ignore them for like another 45 minutes, so just hang be patient, I guess. So yeah, it definitely drags, and like a ton of places. But it looks amazing, and it actually has a pretty, just like Tron Legacy, they went to like a kind of like untraditional source for like the score. They went to M83, who's like they're like a electronic band. So they did the score for Oblivion, nowhere near as good as the Daft Punk score from Tron Legacy, but still a pretty good score. And it's got some pretty good action sequences. They're like scattered. They're like, it's not like, definitely not a like slam, like sci-fi action thriller. It's like more like a definitely way slower pace. So definitely if you're going to go see it, I would say tune your expectations down a little bit. I don't really know, like it looks amazing. So that it'd probably be worth seeing in theaters, but I don't know, like it's, just because you might get super bored by it as well, so it might be like we're just like watching at home.
It'll be on HBO 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
In about 2 years.
I didn't see it in 3D as well, so maybe in 3D it would be worth it, just seeing it in theaters. But yeah, 3 out of 5. So it's like it's solid, but it's not great or anything. And so that's pretty much all I've been watching. So I think that's pretty much it for this week, unless there's anything else you guys can think of.
Nope.
Alrighty, so if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com for a bunch of news, trailers, videos, reviews, our regular features. Review of Oblivion, like I said, we got our Thor trailer up there, so you can check that out. Bunch of other stuff up there as well. You can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction. You can follow us on Tumblr by going to everythingaction.tumblr.com. You can find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action in the iTunes News Store. You can subscribe to the Podcast Center. You can also get our app in there for free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. You can also stream us or download us from Stitcher.com. Just search for Everything Action at Stitcher.com, and you can listen to the latest episode. Or they have an app for pretty much every device you can think of, so you can download the app and then stream us on whatever MP3 player or phone you have, or tablet or whatever. And you can also email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So, for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.